very important, very happy because it was an important game for all of us, for the club, for our people. So to put in the performance that we all did individually and collectively, it was magic, and we're so happy because to give back to the club and to the supporters is the most important thing, is what makes this game so beautiful. And yeah, it was a special night for us, and very emotional to have this opportunity again.
Bom dia, boa tarde! Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 171. That voice you just heard was Bernardo Silva. Congratulations to Bernardo Silva and Ruben Dias for qualifying for the Champions League final on June the 10th in Istanbul. Yes, it's going to be in Istanbul. And Bernardo, of course, talking to the press after the match. A fantastic brace to Leeds City. Will they this time finally win the Champions League? Something that their ownership has wanted for a very long time. And as a result, on the Dia de Portugal, June the 10th, Ruben Dias and Bernardo Silva will be playing for a Champions League title. And when it comes to Inter versus City, I think you'll know who I'll be rooting for on that Saturday. And also congratulations to the special one, Jose Mourinho. He is back to his sixth European final. He has never lost a European final. And he takes Roma, after leading them to the Europa Conference League title last year, he takes them back another year, this time to the Europa Conference League. So Mourinho will be back in another title hunt. So congratulations to him. But we got a lot to talk about with Portugal. This could be a very, very big week. Still a lot to be decided. But if things go a certain way this weekend, pretty much everything could be figured out. Obviously, the big talk is the Liga title. And a lot of the people will be watching the derby on Sunday between Benfica and Sporting. And then, of course, on Saturday night, you're going to have Porto going to Famalicão. Porto just played Famalicão twice in the two legs of the Taça de Portugal semifinal. The last leg did not end very pretty between the two teams. And here they are now going. I could tell you that Fama would love nothing more than to defeat Porto at home. And by doing so, that would give Benfica the title. If Porto win, and the odds are that they will, or even if they draw, then pretty much that pushes the pressure back on Benfica. On Sunday night, if Benfica win, they will win title number 38, which people have been waiting for since they won their last title in 2019. And again, there's a lot of scenarios here. One, Fama beats Porto. That's how Benfica win. Sporting loses to Benfica. Benfica wins. Then that's how Benfica would win the title. Otherwise, it would get pushed to the following weekend if Porto beats Fama and Benfica loses or draws. That would push everything toward the final match day. And the final match day schedule will be announced after the conclusion of round 33s, which is how they do it. They used to do the last 2 weeks of the season. All the teams fighting for the same objective would play pretty much at the same time, so one doesn't have the advantage of playing before the other. But they no longer do that for match day 33. That now only happens in match day 34. But for a number of years, I remember, it used to be the final two match days where the matches between teams with the same objectives would be playing at the same time. And my quick preview on this Benfica match, obviously there's been a lot of talk with regard to whether the Sporting goalkeeper Adan will be able to play, basically because he's suspended for this match. There's been pretty much every day this week in the news, there's been this report that Sporting will appeal. And if they will, it'll likely happen today, Friday, when I'm dropping this. And what's the difference between him and Franco Israel? Well, I think the difference is pretty much experience. Adan has had his terrific moment, but we also know he's had his bad moments. And Sporting fans and Ruben Amorim want to win this. They do not want Benfica celebrating on the pitch in Alvalade. That is an absolute no-no to this club. Amorim is doing everything he can this week. Gave them extra day off. Has been trying to loosen them up with the stress. and trying to get them motivated, because nobody at Sporting wants to see red on the pitch celebrating on Saturday night. There is no doubt about it. Obviously, it's going to come down to, I think for me, I don't know if this is not going to be a 3-4-3 match, a 3-2 match. I get the feeling this will be a match where if Benfica scores early, I think it may take the air out of Sporting. But you know what? If Sporting scores first, that's going to put pressure on Benfica, and that creates a different match. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if this comes away with a draw, which obviously would keep Porto's hopes alive unless Porto loses on Saturday night. And again, one thing, by the way, that I've had a few people reach out to me about, head-to-head does count. And since these teams beat each other once, that tiebreaker is negated. But goal difference between the two teams does not count with the away goals. I've had a few people trying to correct a tweet that I put out. No, it does not count anymore, the goal difference. The away goals has doubled the way they used to do it in UEFA, which obviously they got rid of. Even if Benfica and Porto were to finish in a draw or finish the season tied after 34 weeks, that head-to-head between the goal difference with the fact that Porto scored twice and Benfica would not count. The only goal difference that would come into play that pretty much gives Benfica the advantage, I think they're like plus 12, is the overall Liga with everybody. The overall Liga goal difference is the one that comes into play. And unless Porto scores 15 goals against Fama, Benfica has that advantage. So Benfica has a lot of advantages going into this weekend. Rafa has been hot. He's been scoring a lot of goals. He kind of disappeared there for a while, especially when Benfica started to slump, but he's back. Gonçalo Ramos is kind of, you know, he's done okay lately, scored a goal, but the reality is he has not been the same player that he was, especially during the drought. And at the end of the day, Benfica wants to get this over with. And if it does happen, there's no doubt on Sunday night, there will be severe celebrations taking place in Lisbon across Portugal. Obviously, the big immigrant communities around the world, Toronto, Newark, Fall River, New Bedford, Cambridge, Massachusetts, Montreal, Johannesburg, London, Geneva, Paris, Marseille, Lyon, obviously parts in Brazil also where they follow Portuguese football very closely, will be very excited, and that will break out on Sunday night. And I always have people tell me, well, how can I watch the festivities, you know, when the teams go on the bus and go through the city? I believe you'll be able to watch all of that on RTP International if you're outside of Portugal. Obviously, I believe RTP in Portugal will carry that. But that's if Benfica does win this weekend. But again, we've got two matches left to play. Also, big thing this weekend, Braga, they're going to Boa Vista. You know Boa Vista does not want Braga celebrating Champions League qualification to the qualifying rounds on their pitch in the Vesa. So you've got a big match this weekend between Boa Vista and Braga. If Braga wins, then that's it. They wrap up third place and they could celebrate going to the Champions League. And that obviously confirms Sporting going to the Europa League. And as a result, which is why, by the way, it's very important for Sporting this weekend, because if somehow Sporting manages to beat Benfica and somehow Porto manages to lose to Fama, it would enable Sporting to still have an opportunity with the last match day to try to still overcome Braga. But I think it's a very tough climb for Sporting. I just don't see Braga losing this third place opportunity. But so that's a big thing this week, not just with the title, but the race for third place with Braga. And then the other thing you got going this weekend is the relegation battle. That's a very, very big piece to this weekend. And, you know, everything gets going. Match day one, when I dropped this on Friday, Maritimo is at home to Vizela. Maritimo is in 16th place, as everybody knows, with 23 points. Then you got Passos in 17th and Santa Clara in 18th place. Maritimo with 23 points, Passos with 20, Santa Clara with 19. But if Maritimo defeat Vizela on Friday, then it's over. Maritimo will qualify to go to the playoff against the third-place team in the second division, and that automatically dooms Passos de Ferreira and Santa Clara to relegation. And what's also, by the way, interesting to mention is that with Santa Clara getting basically relegated, that would obviously mean no first division football in the Azores. And then, depending on what happens to Meritimo, if they do go to this playoff and they don't qualify in the playoff and they're also relegated, there are going to be no teams in the islands. From you'll have nobody from the Azores, you'll have nobody from Madeira. And that hasn't happened in many, many years that we haven't had them. Because remember, Nacional is still in the second division. So that would be a very interesting development on a day-to-day basis in Portugal. You don't really see that, you know, very much. But that is a very, very big deal. If Marítimo does eventually get relegated, you'll see the two island teams out. And that will make some people happy that they don't have to fly to Madeira, which is always a challenge with that airport, or have to make the two-hour trip to the Açores, which a lot of people, a lot of teams don't like to do. But that's possible. That could possibly happen next year. So everything gets going on Friday night with Marítimo and Vizela. Saturday, you have four matches. Arouca, Chaves, Santa Clara, Portimonense. Basically are playing at 15:30, and then of course Boavista Braga in the Braga's battle for third place, and then you got Fama, Porto, and everybody will be watching that, and then everything will shift on Sunday. You got Vitória Guimarães, Gil Vicente, Vitória trying to solidify, well, they've already clinched Europe, but they're still trying to finish in fifth place. You'll have then Casa Pia versus Estoril. Both of these teams are safe. And then you'll have, of course, Passos, depending on what happens with Marítimo. It's either a meaningless match or they're playing for something against Rio Ave. And then, of course, the big derby on Sunday night at 20:30 between Sporting and Benfica. Other first division news to talk about. Looks like Casa Pia next year will maybe playing in the Restelo, where Belenenses plays. Of course, Belenenses is coming up to the second division. But it looks like the deal may be cut where Casa Pia, which has been playing in the Jamord, which, as you know, is not in great shape. Looks like Casa Pia next year may be playing in the Restelo. And this is in Belenenses' best interest, because with Casa Pia playing in the Restelo, it means that that stadium has to be standardized for first division football with the lights and the TV. And even though Belenenses has played a number of years in the first division, they obviously haven't done it the last, 4 to 5 years. So having Casa Pia there would help them, because I'll be honest with you, Belenenses will eventually be back in the first division. So I think this is a very good deal for the Restelo. Tickets for the Taça de Portugal final coming up next month in early June between Braga and Porto have sold out very quickly. It has surprised a lot of people how quickly they've sold. I've even had a few people that were emailing me, DMing me, trying to get my best advice on how to get tickets. But unfortunately, the tickets online went very, very fast. So it looks like the Taça de Portugal not only will be sold out, with two teams making the trip from up north to the Jamor down south, but it looks like there's going to be a lot of excitement around that match. Other news this past week, in case you did not hear, Portugal Liga has approved, the Board of Governors has approved that the 5-substitution rule will stay. Obviously, if you remember, it was always 3 substitutions before the pandemic, and then they turned it into 5. I personally like the 3-substitution rule. I think it makes it harder to decide who to substitute for. I think with 5, it makes it easier, although for the health of the players and their freshness, it's probably a better idea. But in Portugal, it's a done deal. There will be 5 substitutions. Also, the Liga, and I'm clapping because I've talked about this in the past, that having kickoff times at 21:15 is absurd. But the Liga has said that if there are single matches during the week, Monday through Friday, or really more Monday through Thursday, that the matches will start at either 1800 hours or 20:15. If you got 2 matches in the same night, they'll start at 18:45 and 20:45. I think that's a bit reasonable, although I still think 20:45 is still a little bit too late. I think 18:30 and 20:30, even if it's a 15-minute difference, would be a little bit better. But the good news with this, no more 21:15 matches. You know, this might be great for us in North America, but if you're in Portugal, this is a very late-night match, and this has been criticized for many, many years. Other news in Portugal that I want to talk about before the second division report. Fran Navarro of Gil Vicente. Pay attention to him. He's going to be a heavy target this summer. He has scored 16 goals for Gil Vicente. But one of the reasons why they struggled this year, and they did manage to stay up, although barely, the rest of the squad has only scored 15. So Fran Navarro, 16 goals. The rest of the squad, 15. I saw that note this week on Twitter. And I wanted to pass that along. And, you know, of course, I don't understand how, you know, there was a report that Porto was interested in him, and there's been some reports of Benfica, and there was a report of Sporting, although I think the Sporting report basically said that Amorim eventually wasn't interested. Why wouldn't you be interested with a guy that scores 16 goals in the first division for a small club? I mean, players like that always wind up going to the big three. They always find a way. You know, the Benfica teams of the 90s used to make their success on getting these players from the small clubs, and they'd become big stars. So hopefully Fran Navarro will get called up. Second division report, well, it's pretty simple this weekend. It's really about second and third place, with Moreirense already having qualified. Feirense from the Algarve, they get going, actually also playing on Friday night. They're going to be playing the Seychelles against Benfica B. The other match on Friday is Leixões and Vila Friquense. But Feirense, if they get the 3 points, that will put them one step closer to finishing in second place with one match left. If they do lose, then that would allow Estrela Amadora, who plays on Sunday at home to Nacional, and that will give Estrela Amadora to catch up. Because really right now, again, it's the race for second place. Feirense 63 points, Estrela Amadora 60. And the question is right now, we know one is going to get promoted. We know the other one's going to go to the playoff, possibly playing Marítimo. The question is who's going to finish second and who's going to finish third? That's really the biggest question mark right now. And then at the bottom, things get very interesting in terms of relegation, and that is you've got Bissad in 16th place with 31 points. You've got Trofense in 17th place with 29 points, and then you got Cuvilla in last with 28 points. And this weekend, on Saturday, Bissad is going to be at home to Olivarense, which has put together some decent results these last few weeks. So this is by no means an easy match for Bissad. And then, of course, wouldn't you know it, the two teams at the bottom are playing each other on Saturday. They're the first match. Cuvilla will be at home to Trofense, and it's very simple. Whoever loses definitely gets relegated. Whoever wins, depending on Bissad's result, has a chance to try to get to that playoff position. Now, Nacional is only at 33 points in 15th place if they lose this weekend. And mind you that Estrela Amadora is playing them, and Estrela Amadora needs to win. Nacional could even drop into the drop zone. So anyway, the bottom line is that the bottom four in the second division still to play for with the playoff. It's very exciting down there. Of course, it doesn't get a lot of interest, but the bottom of that is very, very interesting. And again, everything kicks off on Friday, the day I drop this episode. Benfica B, Feirense, Leixões, Vila Friquense, both of these matches kicking off at 1800 hours. Also, the playoffs were announced with regards to basically the third place team, the 16th place team in the Liga playing the second place team, the third place team, in the second division. But the playoffs, first leg will be on June the 3rd, the day before the Taça de Portugal. The team in the second Liga, the third place team, will be the host against the 16th place team from the first division. And then the second leg is the following weekend, June the 11th, and that will be the Liga team will have home taking on the second division team. So again, the first leg, June the 3rd, day before Taça de Portugal. And then the second leg of the playoff will be on June the 11th. Moving on to women's football, before we begin part two of this podcast, everything's been decided in terms of the champion. You already know Benfica women have won, and they're going into the Champions League next year. Sporting and Braga, basically, you know, Sporting's in second place with 51 points. Braga's in third with 48. Both of these teams are playing this weekend. Sporting's playing against Vila Verdense. Braga's playing at home against Clube de Albergueria. Basically, Sporting's just looking to stay in second place, so they're looking for the win. The only thing that's really interesting this weekend is really the battle of the playoff battle to avoid relegation between 10th and 11th place. And wouldn't you know it, that Marítimo is playing the team that they're battling to avoid, and between the 10th place team Marítimo and 11th place team Atlético Oriente. And by the way, I did not say that right. But basically, they're playing this weekend. And obviously, if Marítimo wins or draws, that would be a very good result for them. And but obviously they also need Valladolid's Gaia to lose to try to get into ninth place and avoid the playoffs. So simply put, for the first division, Marítimo and Atlético Orense are playing. If Marítimo wins, depending on the Valladolid's Gaia result, they may have a chance to get out of the playoff and stay next year. But right now the battle is who's going to be finishing in 10th or 11th place. And that is part one of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Welcome back. Going to talk more about the big three transfer rumors and some of the success stories in Portugal. Before I do, let me just finish up with a few more notes with women's football. I went a little bit too fast to close it in the last segment. First off, Francisco Neto, the manager of the Portuguese women's national team, apparently reports are that he will be renewing until 2027. He has done a fantastic job with the women's program, and he deserves their renewal until 2027. The women also announced the national team that they're going to be playing Ukraine in Boa Vista's Bessa on June the 7th. I believe that is a Wednesday. So if you happen to be in the Porto area on June the 7th, go check out women's football against Ukraine. Obviously, with the war in Ukraine, this is bound to take on some special meaning. But give that a check out. And then the other big news, by the way, women's football, you don't hear too much about the women's players, although they do go to play in some big clubs in Europe. But there's a player named Chloe from Benfica, Canadian international, who apparently is going to be going to Arsenal, playing in England. And again, that's a very big move. And again, that speaks to the strength of the Portuguese Liga. But let's get going talking about the rest of the Liga. And let me also say, by the way, I received a notification on my Twitter that the PortugueseSoccer.com Twitter is now 9 years old. I remember the day I started it. I was actually sick for a few years. I wasn't able to do PortugueseSoccer.com. And then I brought it back. And I brought it back first as Twitter. And it really did a lot to help me get back. And it was really, it's been great on Twitter. It's been great, but obviously you also have this on Instagram. You also have this on Facebook. And again, thank you for following. But again, congratulations when we talk about players abroad to Bernardo Silva and Ruben Dias for playing in the Champions League final coming up on June the 10th. Congratulations to Jose Mourinho. This is the reason why Mourinho didn't want to become manager of Portugal, because he still wants club football. And obviously, look at him, the big decision that he's made. You know, life is not just filled with big events and big accomplishments. You have to make good decisions to put yourself in a position to do great things. And Mourinho does this because had he gone to play for Portugal, he would have been sitting at home right now, probably not knowing, had he stayed, he would have taken Roma to the Europa League final. And who's to say that Roma would have, probably wouldn't have gone to the Europa League final without Mourinho. But life is filled with choices, people. And on this one, I think Jose Mourinho made a very big decision. So congratulations to him. And needless to say, much like I'll be rooting for City, I'll also be rooting for Roma in the Europa League final. Big three report. Just want to touch on a few things. First off, some big news this week. The CEO of Benfica, Suarez. He's kind of been in the news in the past year for not the greatest reasons, but once a month he does these talks, he does these interviews, he does these speeches at events, and obviously because he is the financial guy for Benfica that oversees the commercial division, a lot of what he says in sports business in Portugal, people pay attention to because that's the position that he has. But he made a remark that's always been said, and that is that Benfica has to sell players to keep up with their finances, because if they don't sell players, they're not going to have the type of money to pay their players to compete with other leagues in Europe. And we're not necessarily talking about the Premier League or La Liga, but to be able to compete with everybody else, that they have to pay good salaries and they have to find ways to bring in new players and invest money in bringing in those new players. And he came out this week and said on the need to sell. And again, this is no secret in Portugal. You must sell. Otherwise, you're going to fall far, far behind. And by the way, Portuguese football has fallen behind Holland because we already lost the Champions League spot, not necessarily this year, but the following year. And as a result now, it's going to probably be, I think, in my opinion, to get, especially with Sporting in Porto, there was reports this week that they have to sell because of their financial fair play regulations that they got to meet. It means we're going to be seeing a lot of players sold this summer, and that may not necessarily make our clubs any stronger when it comes to the fall and the start of European competition. Interesting news this week, Grimaldo surprised everyone at Benfica by signing with Bayer Leverkusen. It took everybody by surprise. The word was in the press that Benfica expected him to make this decision and announcement after the title was decided, not before. There's never been, I think, behind the scenes, a great relationship between Grimaldo and Benfica. If you remember last year, when last few matches of the season, when Benfica was already out of it, I think, if I remember correctly, Grimaldo saw the starting lineup for a match and he saw he was in there for a meaningless match and he wasn't happy. And, you know, I don't know the whole story, so I don't want to go into conjecture, but I know last year there was a big issue with Grimaldo and the team. And I think if you're Grimaldo and you're a free agent, which he is, and you have a chance to sign for Leverkusen, it's amazing that he did that. Not so much because, all right, so maybe he wants to give it to the people he's not getting along with behind the scenes, but man, what a way to upset fans. I just don't think that was very, very smart. Conceição, we saw what happened last week with Casapia. We saw what happened with Familia Gong, and a lot of people are talking. There's talking about a lot of suspensions, possibly. If I'm Conceição, and again, why would you not take an opportunity to move abroad? These things that are happening post-match, I mean, I've talked very well about this guy. He is a fantastic manager, whether you like him or not, what he's done at Porto, the amount of money he's created for this club, what he's had to work with and turned into success. But at the end of the day, this guy has just done some great things. But when you see these post-match things, regardless of who's right or wrong, that stuff going over the TV, it's just, you know, it's great to sell newspapers, but it's not great if you're a fan, and certainly if you're a young kid seeing this chaos, it's not very good as well. Sporting, obviously, look, this weekend, if Braga wins, they're in trouble. They got to go to the Europa League, and there is no doubt that they will have to sell some players this summer. Ugarte and Gonçalo Inácio will come to mind. And then what does that mean for Sporting? Well, we've seen what's happened when they've sold their better players. It usually doesn't work out very well for them these last 2 years. So I think if you're a Sporting fan, unless you get on loan another two or three Sarabias, I think it's going to be a very long summer for you. Player abroad, Celtic Jota. What a job he's done with Celtic. He continues to garner major attention. One of his goals, I believe, was the goal of the year in the Scottish League. 14 goals, 11 assists with Celtic. He continues to light it up. And again, I don't think Roberto Martinez will pick him. In my opinion, I think, you know, he deserves a chance to be called up very soon. Interesting rumor this week, Cancelo. Apparently, Bayern is not activating the buyout clause on $70 million on him, but it looks like Arsenal, who's going to be playing the Champions League next year, is very interested in Cancelo. And why not? It's a very experienced player you would put on your squad if you were looking to bring him in for the Champions League next year. And also very interesting news that came out on Thursday, June the 20th. Senegal will be playing Brazil, by all reports. They're going to be playing in Estádio José Alvalade Sporting. This is not the first time that Brazil has played a national team match in Portugal. They played, it was in the Dragon, I think it was like 2 years ago. They played a match in the, 2 or 3 years ago, they played a match in the Dragon. And a lot of the Porto players that are on the Brazilian national team, I remember how happy that they were back in Alvalade. But apparently, there will be a Senegal-Brazil match in Alvalade on June the 20th. So if you happen to be in Portugal during that time, great opportunity for you to go see Brazil if you wanted to. I think that would be pretty good. Let me wrap up this episode. It's going to be a little bit shorter. I've been very busy, but thankfully after this weekend, things really open up in my life, and looking forward to some projects this summer and, of course, Portugal. But simply put, if you're listening to this for the first time, I always talk about my favorite club in Portugal. They're in the fifth tier. My parents' hometown team, Athletico dos Arcos, and we've got two matches left. And much like Braga and Porto, we are also 4 points behind the team in front of us, our objective, and that is first place, which in the fifth tier, first place gets you promoted to the fourth tier, and that's it. Second place, which my team, Athletico dos Arcos, they have qualified for the Portuguese Cup next season at Taça de Portugal, which is nice, but I want to be in the fourth tier. And unfortunately, we have two matches left. We are 4 points behind first place Limianos. And unfortunately, Limianos this weekend has a very easy match against a team in the relegation zone called Fechense. So we are in very big trouble this weekend. And if Flamianos wins, then it's over. But somehow if Flamianos draws and Athletico dos Arcos, we're going to be playing at a club called UD Linenses, which is currently in 13th place. But maybe considering the goal difference between Flamianos and for chance, maybe if Flamianos draws this weekend and we win, that would help us cut the lead to 2 points and keep the hope alive going into the final match day. But unfortunately, I don't have much hope. It's been frustrating. We've been to the playoffs twice in the past to try to get promoted. We failed. This year, we had a 5-point lead in January. We failed to hold on to that. They changed managers. I cannot wait to go to Arcos de Valdez and ask around about what happened with this club. Usually, I pay a visit to the stadium, which is usually empty with the sprinklers on, with the grass. But I'm looking forward to finding out what happens this summer. Anyway, short podcast, everybody. Enjoy the football this weekend, especially if you get to celebrate with your team. And what happens this weekend, of course, PortugueseSoccer.com will be covering it. And as always, this has been another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast, episode 171. Folks, as I always say, please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your families. And I'll talk to you next week. Ciao, everybody.